Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but I'm going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all you do. We love that about you, right, Drewski?
I do, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Are we going to talk about that video? It upset me.
It's good pod.
I'm just saying, we watched a video.
That video.
And is that something that happened today?
We're watching a live video.
As we record this,
I understand.
It's weird how little he knows about anything but medicine.
No.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand what I just saw.
You saw the news footage as of last week where folks were blocking the freeway.
Okay.
Just look, here's the deal. Here's my deal with you, Drew, and everyone. Either don't bring it up or get it together and bring it up.
Right.
You can't just roll it out and kind of go, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So now that you have brought it together, I brought it together and you brought it up,
right. What
are we talking about?
It was people standing across the 101 freeway preventing traffic from going forward saying November 4th it begins. That was the part I was confused about.
I hope it's a Tom Cruise movie.
That's what I'm wondering. What the hell that is.
Listen, the thing about protests, I have a couple thoughts about almost all protesting,
which
is everyone's free to protest.
Sure.
But when you start busting things or setting things on fire or blocking intersections, we are free to take a goddamn fire hose to your ass and get you the fuck out of there as fast as humanly possible, which is completely and utterly fine with me. When you're holding up traffic that way, first off, people aren't super sympathetic to your cause when they're running late to work, but some people aren't going to work. Some people are going to funerals. Some people are going to auditions. Some people are going to they're trying to get jobs.
There are
folks that are in ambulances that are trying to get to hospitals.
By the way, already difficult enough in Los Angeles.
Right.
Already difficult enough.
Right. And when I said auditions, I meant interviews. People are trying to get jobs. People are picking up their kids from places. There's elderly people. So what you're doing is inherently dangerous, not just for you, but it's inherently dangerous for the other folks that are attempting to get places in a time sensitive. Look, imagine if you're catching a flight to go to a fill in the blank, a funeral, a job, a presentation, or whatever it is in North Carolina, and you miss your flight. You're not going to be sympathetic to the asswipes that were blocking the freeway. But
also, by the way, it's why we have a Trump phenomenon. It's the stuff that then there's a reaction the other way.
But powers that be, please do your job. This notion of, hey, these guys were roughed up or somebody got a bruised shin or whatever it is because they were laying down in the middle of the 101 freeway. First things first, if you think it's a good plan to lay down in the middle of the freeway, then what happens after that will be on you, number one. And if you think it's a good idea to grab a newspaper dispenser and throw it through a plate glass window in front of a Starbucks, then if you get cut by shards of glass or perhaps you get punched by a cop, that will then be on you.
The more difficult question, what about these poor people that are trying to push through the blockade? What if they decide to move forward with their vehicles?
I would.
I know you would. But
absolutely would.
But I worry, this. Then you, jeez.
Alec, anyway, it's much ado about nothing, but either way, have fun, everybody. It's all narcissism. It's all narcissism.
Reminds me of my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke, or one of them. I'm against picketing, but I don't know how to show it.
I miss Mitch, and I love that guy. I also say, this is There's like a couple of Trump fronts going on. I think this is probably L.A. something, Dreamer, Hispanic something. And then the other ones are more NFL SOB stuff and all that. It is a good time for sane people to really advance their position in life.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, I spend the line. So there's a lot of people online having arguments with other adults online about what's going on in the NFL.
Yeah.
I am editing my third documentary while these assholes are having a tweet off online. Yeah. And I will thus get that. I'm actually advancing my position while these retards are sitting in their 40s
dotards.
And 50s.
Dotards.
Those dotards are having arguments online about whether 23-year-old millionaires should stand or kneel. You see what I'm saying? For any of us who'd like to get anywhere in life, it's a perfect time because all of the idiots are arguing and you can just go out and take over the world.
I like the fact that it's the leader of North Korea that's gotten around the prohibition of the R word and just went right to dotard. And we can it's in active use now because it refers to Donald Trump. So you can use it all you want.
Oh, I thought we're talking about – I didn't even know that was dotard.
Yeah, it came from Kim Jong-un. He called him a dotard, which is an elderly, frail, sort of doddering, stupid.
Yeah, now I remember that. Yeah.
So you can go feel free to use dotard. Use it the way you use the R word. It's the same thing.
Yeah, Rocket Man and dotard. So everyone's going nuts, and I don't care. I'm just here to make some hay while the sun is shining. And I don't know why – more folks aren't wired that way, but I feel the same way about all of this, essentially as I do about the Rams. Like people come to me and go, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, hey, your Rams are coming back to LA. And I'd go, hey, I'm 50. I don't give a shit. And they go, hey, come on now. The Rams, your Rams. And I'm like, first off, they're not my Rams. And secondly, I liked them when I was a kid and now they're gone. And now, they're coming back. So what? They're coming back. That's good stuff, right? I go, I have a family. I got kids. I got a career. I got stuff to work on. Yeah, but aren't you psyched? I'd be like, look, if my son wants to go check out a game, that might be a fun Sunday.
I'm psyched for the stadium. Afternoon, see what that's gonna be like.
And, I'm glad if it floats anyone else's boat. But no, I'm not. Doesn't make a difference in my life. I'm a 50-year-old dude who's got family and businesses.
I don't know where you are on the take a knee thing, but are you, if you are sort of troubled by it, is it going to make you less likely to go to a game or watch a game?
No, what I am troubled by, I'll tell you what I'm troubled by. I am and have always been the first guy. I'm not Mr. Back the Badge guy. Nobody's complained more about cops and what they're doing and how they're using, they shouldn't be, these that's nobody's done. I've 20 years
I've been there
on what these cops are doing and how they work for us and how we're not their servants and they're looking at us as piggy banks or I don't like the militarization of the police. I've said this a million times. That being said, when people, a lot like the time I missed the flight to Seattle and you like to throw it in my face. I remember when you decided not to do the gig at Portland and I kept explaining to you that I went to the airport with my ticket in my hand and my suitcase and they canceled the flight and you're like, yeah, but you didn't want to do the gig. I'm not into the false narrative. The false narrative. And let me explain the false narrative that I went to the airport. I had a ticket. I wanted to go to Portland and they canceled the flight. Drew and my former manager decided that this was converted this into me not wanting to do a gig. So I basically begged out.
False news. Can I give the true narrative?
Cops do not shoot black people It's statistically, it's a false narrative. What is going on? Ferguson is a false narrative. When people go, hey man, you don't want another Ferguson, or you know, after what happened in Ferguson. I mean, I see these guys on TV talking about these incidents as if they went a totally different direction than what they went. You know, like they'll be, and then conflating and lumping them in with, you know, first there's Trayvon Martin, then there's Ferguson, and it's like, okay, blah blah blah. Trayvon Martin is not a cop. It's a Hispanic guy and a black guy, but that's not the police department. And Ferguson is a guy who robbed a liquor store and then, through all the witnesses' accounts, wrestled with a cop. So please pick your moments and protest those moments when they're the right moments. And there are plenty of them. There's moments you can find out there. Mark Geragos has a guy who was gunned down while laying on his belly in a hotel room hallway and begging for his life, but he's a white guy. It doesn't fit the narrative, so let's move on to the next Trayvon Martin or Ferguson. But protest the right event. You know what I'm saying? And statistically, the cops and the, you know, hands up, don't shoot, and all that stuff, it's a false narrative. Statistically, it's a false narrative. Gary, if you look up Pragertopia and look for it's a female, one of the ones who's been banned from speaking on campuses because she makes sense or uses statistics or something like that. If you look her up, and she'll tell you about the Black Lives Matter movement, it's just statistically it's not backed up. Do cops shoot black people? Yes. Do they shoot white people? Yes. What I like in general, cops not shooting as many people. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. But you saying this is what happens and now we have to fight against it is you fighting against something that doesn't exist.
Would it be acceptable to you to say, for whatever reason, and we could talk about that, the fact that a lot of black people are, if you're a black person, a lot of black people are shot by cops, has a different impact? It's okay to say.
What do you mean
that
has a different impact?
It somehow psychologically is a more meaningful, deeper emotional kind of a connection for various reasons.
So
that's all I'm saying.
A white person gets shot by a cop, but Whitey doesn't mind. And a black person gets shot by a cop. Mm-hmm.
Didn't say doesn't mind. I say has a deeper experience with it.
Well, that's all right with me, but yeah. It still doesn't make the narrative. It still doesn't work statistically.
I understand that, but I think that you need to include all aspects of this phenomena to really get to it.
I do.
One does. Let me tell you what one needs to do is go to the groundbreaking documentary at A&E. Docuseries gives a no-hold-bar view of the life and mind of today's American high school teens. Premieres October 10th, 12 episodes. Seven young adults from different cultures, the age 21 to 26, embed themselves for a semester in Topeka, Kansas, Highland Park High. They go undercover.
Gina Grad's old stomping grounds.
Really? They pretend to be typical students. They attend classes, make friends, participate in clubs and activities. All the other kids are unaware of one another. Oh, each participant is unaware of one another. So the seven young adults that are embedded
aren't
aware of one another even. Only the school administrators and select members of the community know the true identities. It is Undercover High. It premieres October 10th, A&E. People are always wondering what's going on with young people, millennials, high school age. This is going to be the undercover view of what's up with high school kids. It's in Topeka, Kansas. Premieres October 10th on A&E.
All right.
We have a bit more info on the protest if you're interested.
They're protesting new jail that was opening up.
And they're also all holding signs that say November 4th, it begins.
That's what I was confused about.
When you search for that online, it's like this is basically a pre-protest for a protest they're planning nationwide for November 4th against racism.
Oh, okay.
All right. Who delivers this PragerU? I've done a few of these PragerUs. They're really good. They're like 5-minute little vignettes on sort of how things work.
Heather McDonald.
Heather McDonald. Yes, she said
not the comedian Heather McDonald.
Yeah, it's spelled differently. Yeah. It's MAC space Donald.
But she gets a lot of crap for basically pushing back against the Black Lives Matter movement.
Is she black?
No. That's why she gets even more crap. But she throws out a lot of statistics that I don't think most people know. I think this is a problem. So give her a listen, and we'll listen to some of the stats, Harry.
Does the truth matter? Not to groups like Black Lives Matter. That's tragic for many reasons, not the least of which is that Black lives are being lost as a result. When it comes to the subject of American police, blacks, and the deadly use of force, here is what we know. A recent deadly force study by Washington State University researcher Lois James found that police officers were less likely to shoot unarmed black suspects than unarmed white or Hispanic ones in simulated threat scenarios. Harvard economics professor Roland Fryer analyzed more than 1,000 officer-involved shootings across the country. He concluded that there is zero evidence of racial bias in police shootings. In Houston, he found that blacks were 24% less likely than whites to be shot by officers, even though the suspects were armed or violent. Does the truth matter? An analysis of the Washington Post's police shooting database and of federal crime statistics reveals that fully 12% of all whites and Hispanics who die of homicide are killed by cops. By contrast, only 4% of black homicide victims are killed by cops. But isn't it a sign of bias that blacks make up 26% of police shooting victims, but only 13% of the national population? It is not, and common sense suggests why. Police shootings occur more frequently where officers confront armed or violently resisting suspects. Those suspects are disproportionately black. According to the most recent study by the Department of Justice, although blacks were only about 15% of the population in the 75 largest counties in the U.S., they were charged with 62% of all robberies, 57% of murders, and 45% of assaults. In New York City, blacks commit over three-quarters of all shootings, though they are only 23% of the city's population. Whites, by contrast, commit under 2% of all shootings in the city.
Go Whitey.
Though they are 34% of the population.
All right. I get the picture.
Drew New York's like crime this disparities kind of stuff.
Well,
are repeated.
Well, I know people argue about that. Like,
no, but look, that statistically, it's not there. That's what I'm saying.
Then people will to start questioning the data collection and being detected or not detected, and it goes and goes and goes.
No, it doesn't go and go and go. It's statistics, and it's just not there. It's not there. I'm not saying
that
cops love black people.
No,
I'm just saying it's not. It's statistically, hands up, don't shoot. You got a target on your back. If you're black, stuff. It's not. You're not doing any. It's not statistically accurate.
I think a more meaningful conversation, a more productive conversation, would be why is it more deeply meaningful to the black population and what's going on, and let's have that conversation. That's all I'm saying.
Well, go ahead, start it.
I'm trying.
Go ahead, Hero.
Yeah.
Look. So, I do not wish anyone to live in a society who thinks they have a target on their back.
No.
And I don't think it's healthy for them or the kids. So, that's my problem with the whole thing.
And by the way, you've been mishandled by cops, right? Have you ever?
Everybody, I was having this conversation with Lynette the other night, which is, I had a first class ticket to Seattle on my Alaskan Airlines flight, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I then, even with a first-class ticket, somebody put their bags above my seat, and there was no room for me to stack my one bag above my – and I traveled light. And they said, we got to check it.
I've heard this story.
Yes, they did. And they checked it.
Yeah.
And when they did check it, I was the first person off the plane. I'd never gate checked anything before. I'd never had that experience. Was it just I didn't travel enough? And it was kind of a new thing, this gate check. They never said anything about it. They just said, we're checking your bag. And I went and sat by the carousel for 45 minutes. And when nothing showed up, I went to the friendly person behind the counter, the white guy behind the counter. And I said, I don't know where my bag is. And he said, it's at the gate. And I said, oh, I just took a tram here. So can you call the gate and have them send the bag down? And he said, no, you can go back up and get it. And as I was telling the story, I realized if I was black, I just think that guy was racist.
No, you. I think our listeners heard the story day before yesterday.
Oh, was I telling this the day before yesterday?
Yes.
I can't remember. I've done too many podcasts.
Yes, you have.
All right. Well, stop me if I'm day before yesterday.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm doing.
All right. So what do you do?
Yeah. What do I do?
Well, how do you explain to black people that's not being racist? That guy's an asshole. And a lot of people have to deal with a lot of these people on a daily basis.
Might be a more productive conversation.
All right. Well, let's have that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
No, I'd like to.
It'd be nice.
But, you know, it's to me, it's all very painfully
narcissistic. Thank you.
Well, it's so unproductive. It's like people go, you know, in the civil rights era, it's like, yeah, there was a very specific goal, a civil rights bill that was being advocated for and pushed through Congress, or get out of Vietnam.
You're
now.
Never.
I don't understand what the end game.
There is no end game. It's invisible, and there is no end game.
And if it's to have conversation, is it it's Paris peace talks? Who are we having them with?
There is no conversation. There is no end game. It's just an ongoing thing. That's
you're
what it
only
is.
Happy if it keeps going.
I'm not, but I'm everyone else is. And politicians only go where the chatter is, so they don't care. That's just lip service. So just float around and just sort of
so
go there. You know, I know that's why we get to take over the world. Go do something productive while everyone else is laying down an intersection or having an argument that's a never ending. Basically, the argument is the equivalent to the Pirates of the Caribbean where the guy's chasing the winch around on the circle go round for, you know, until we had to get involved and stop it. But they're chasing that thing. That thing was nonstop for 47 years. You never catch the person.
It
That's
stopped.
Your argument.
Somebody got the
we didn't like the idea of a fella chasing a young lass around.
Oh my God, I haven't been in that ride in a long time. What'd they change it to?
I don't.
The joke was there was a woman chasing a pirate in the thing too.
No,
remember?
No, the joke is later on the fat chick.
Yeah, chasing the pirate.
Well, how's that going to fly in 2017? Think about all themes Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's a little rough.
That's what I'm saying. In this day, all right. You want to take a phone call
here?
Let's talk to is it Devlin?
Devlin,
28,
yes,
Los
right.
Angeles. What's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
Excellent. Okay, so I am Polly. My partner's not. We've been together for about a year now, and she is generally accepting of my being Polly. We've both had other partners in our relationship, but she gets entirely wigged out, upset, when I am, say, on Tinder or the dating sites.
What's poly mean? You got
polyamorous.
You got dudes or chicks?
Polyamorous. Well, I am bi. She is also bi, although she has not applied that label to herself. She enjoys the P and the V,
mm-hmm.
as do I.
Yeah.
But it.
Wait, is poly the same as bi?
No. Polyamorous essentially means that you have multiple committed relationships.
Oh, multiple committed. They're all committed, but there's just dozens of them. I like that.
Not dozens.
But why not? By definition, why not just say, hey, I have thousands of committed relationships? I mean, as long as we're going to just define it. You know what I mean? All right. But you're bi too, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I like this. So,
what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a way to avoid intimacy. So you just kind of go, you make up a title and then you hang it on your cock. You basically go, hey, sorry, sweetheart, but I got a letter from my doctor online that says I got to fuck multiple things all the time. So I'm I have a title. Here's my title. So anyway, I can't commit to you. I have to fuck strangers because
well, it's not strangers.
Well, no, I have to fuck other folks. I fuck with frequency because that's a disease. I have a
not a disease.
That's who I am.
Who you are?
That's my title. It's my title. So she should have to live with that because that's your title.
And if she can't, she can't.
Yeah, yeah. So there you
okay.
go. There you go,
what, I'm a little confused.
What's the question?
She can't handle this, and that would be that's a that's a problem for you. So you should. Why are you with that person?
You're not going to find a lot of sane people who can handle this. It flies in the face of.
I completely agree with that.
Women's wiring and human wiring.
We've been committed.
Some messes that are into it.
Sure. Well, I won't say that I'm altogether, not even close. And she gets me on that level. That's why we've been together for a year. So we are definitely committed to each other, and we do love each other, which is, you know, why she's been attempting to be accepting of this for
you. If you love her, why do you do behaviors that hurt her?
Well, he's polyamorous.
Hang on.
But Drew.
I know. Why don't you stop doing, on behalf of her feelings, which you claim to love and cherish, stop doing things that hurt her?
But what about the plaque? It's in my office.
It's on your penis.
It's on my penis. I'm polyamorous. How can I not do
this? You can
do
all, she apparently is tolerant to all sorts of things. She's asked for certain areas that freak her out. And Devlin, what's the answer? Go fuck yourself? I mean, you've hurt her. Why not love and cherish this person and change your behavior?
Okay, well, that is an answer. I mean, we're going to continue to work together on this.
Hang on. So you're going to continue to hurt her, and she's going to have to learn how to deal with that hurt. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't want her to be in pain.
Okay, so just stop the behavior.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah, stop the behavior. It's no big deal. It's not a big deal.
I like that this has replaced rambling. Like, I used to just be like, hey, I had to tell her, I'm a rambling man.
And she just have to take that.
Well, what can you do? I have to ramble.
Yeah.
You know, maybe when I come back to town a year or so from now, I'll give you a finger blast, but I'm a rambling man.
Well, the rambling man didn't claim to love anybody.
Once in a while.
He'd show them love.
Well, he didn't have time for love.
Right, he'd show love.
And he'd warn them about falling in love with him because of his rambling nature.
That's all fair enough, by the way.
Now the polyamorous man has taken the rambling man's place.
Yeah.
There were many songs about men who rambled. But it's the same deal. It was the same smokescreen, which is, what do you want me to do? I'm a rambling man. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm polyamorous. I have to bang other folks. That's what I do.
And she generally seems okay with that. She just doesn't like the Tinder and all that stuff. So, okay.
Nobody's ever generally going to be okay with it. You have two choices. You have insane and generally okay, or disgusted with it, won't put up with it, and a good candidate for marriage and raising kids.
Yeah.
Those are your two slots for this. Sadly, Drew and I wish it were another way, but it doesn't seem to be. Does it, Drew?
Well, all I tell people is, like, look, there are literally armies of professionals who dedicate their lives to trying to help people navigate a relationship. Because a man and a woman, or a man and a woman and a woman in a relationship is a really difficult thing to do in a healthy way for most people. Then you add more people in. Oh, my God. Yeah. It just becomes impossible.
Yeah.
But okay, do whatever.
Yeah. I'm in one relationship and I'd like to thin the herd. True Car, everybody. Shopping for a car, make sure you get real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. Don't let that happen to you. True Car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. So if you're ready to buy, like our own Max Zapata did over there, man, got himself a nice white Prius, 200 miles new. I mean, technically used, but 200 miles, man. That's like new, man. So when you're ready to buy new, you're ready to buy used, you go with True Car. You see what other people are paying and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It is True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right, Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. Me doing my one-man show. Quite cathartic.
Mm.
Saturday, October 14th, Nashville. Polk Theater. You guys can come on out and see that after the show. Come on out and say hi. Irvine Improv coming up Thursday. This Thursday, we do our live show. Jay Moore on stage with us there. He's the best. The best on stage. And Corolla Drinks and Chassis with two S's and Y and all that stuff. Drew, what do you got?
Go to Drew.com. Is it Greg Grunberg up this week? Is that what you told me, Chris? Yeah, that's
I like him.
Actor. He is a good guy. And lots of interesting things coming. And check out the Facebook page with Eric Roberts and me and Bob Forrest.
Oh,
and me and Mike and Bert Kreischer and his Sober October premiere. Did you hear see that Facebook post?
No. Sober Octobert.
Octobert. Thank you for that. BertBertBert.com. And oh my God, was he entertaining. But anyway, that's that.
So,
Doctor.com.
Adam Crawford, Dr. Hussein. Mahalo.